Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast here on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us, as always, for the conversation, glad to welcome back on this Thursday morning, Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Shane, a lot, of course, has taken place since Election Day at this point, a little over a week ago. Perhaps we could begin with yesterday, Wednesday. We did see President-elect Trump. He did have an eventful day in Washington, D.C., having had met with congressional leadership, along with President Biden in the Oval Office, which was symbolic to see. So, from your vantage point, what were some key takeaways from what was a very busy day?
Yeah, you're right. You know, this was former President Trump's first visit to D.C. Since the election, and now he's President-elect Trump. The meeting with House Republicans was kind of a rally the team event, right? You know, I think Republicans had news yesterday officially that they have clinched the House. So, you know, I think this was a lot of excitement for them to have President-elect Trump in front of them, kind of rallying the troops. It wasn't really about, you know, any specific issue. It was, you know, kind of saying we're a team, you know, we're going to act quickly. We're going to try and be bold and, you know, get everyone thinking on the same page. You know, we've seen a frustration from President Trump in his first term when, you know, Republicans were not singing from the same and, you know, he did not achieve his goals, right? So I think this was a good rally the troop event with House leadership. And then, you know, of course, he met with President Biden at the White House. And, you know, what we saw was kind of only the short clip of him and President Biden in the Oval Office, you know, talking about a smooth transition and, you know, essentially a peaceful transfer of power, and that they were going to work together in that endeavor. And but what really happened was there was a 2-hour meeting between them that included, you know, President Biden's chief of staff, Jeff Zients, and also President-elect Trump's incoming chief of staff, Susie Wiles. So the four of them sat down for 2 hours. Neither side has really delved into what they discussed, but, you know, a 2-hour meeting is significant. So they obviously covered a lot of area. It's believed that they did talk about Ukraine. And it's also understood that President-elect Trump asked a number of detailed questions. So I think this was a healthy step in, you know, the transition of power. And so, you know, we'll see how the next few weeks develop. But, you know, there's less than 70 days until the inauguration. So, you know, both sides are going to be hard at work. The Trump transition team will be hard at work to get themselves ready to go so that they can start implementing policy changes on day one, while the Biden administration is going to be busy, you know, trying to cement their legacy over that time frame.
So, Shane, it's interesting with respect to Congress. When we spoke about a week ago, the full makeup of Congress was not yet quite confirmed. As you mentioned, the GOP did claim control of the House. And of course, the Senate was called last week. So who can we expect to see fill these congressional leadership posts in both the House and the Senate?
Yeah, starting with the Senate, you know, it's going to be 53-47 with Republicans in control. There's one race, Pennsylvania, that is going to undergo a recount. But, you know, I think the difference is enough that we don't expect the recount to change the outcome. So, you know, the Senate Republicans had their election, their internal leadership election this week. And Senator John Thune of South Dakota is going to be the majority leader. He will have Senator John Barrasso as his whip. And, you know, you have other Republicans in the Senate who stood up to the plate. And, you know, like Tim Scott from South Carolina will be leading the National Republican senatorial campaign. That's their campaign arm. Senator Shelley Moore Capito will be part of the leadership team. She's from West Virginia. So, you know, some of these names are well known, some are not as well known, but, you know, I think within the Republican ranks in the Senate, you know, they are trusted to be the leadership team. And the House, they have held their leadership elections. You know, the top three remain the same. Speaker Johnson was unanimously confirmed as, for Republicans to be the speaker. However, he faces a full vote on the House floor in January to confirm that. The other positions, you know, Steve Scalise will be the majority leader. That is just an internal vote. So he is confirmed there, along with Tom Emmer being the whip. There are some changes, you know, with Elise Stefanik. She's leaving the House to go be the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Congresswoman Lisa McClain will take over her role as conference chair. So, and a few other changes, but those are kind of the notable highlights, I'll say. And I think, you know, in the House, as we mentioned, Republicans have claimed victory. There is a question, though, of about a half dozen races outstanding. So it's a question of, you know, will Republicans have 220 seats or maybe 221? That is a little bit fluid. So we're waiting just for those final races to be called.
So it sounds like there's been a lot of shuffling within Congress, a lot of appointments announced over the past several days with respect to the incoming Trump administration. We've been learning about several appointments along with nominees for multiple key cabinet positions. What are your thoughts, highlights, Shane, as to how the incoming Trump administration is taking shape in these early days?
Yeah, I think some of his picks and nominations for his cabinet have been very Trumpian, we'll say. You know, some of them I think will be easily confirmed, like Marco Rubio to Senate, probably John Ratcliffe to be the CIA director. But there are others that are drawing some questions. You know, I think Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense is interesting, and you know, I kind of lean towards him being confirmed by Republicans in the Senate, but we're going to see how the nomination process goes. I think the biggest two question marks are Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence and Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Excuse me. There are a number of Republicans who have questions about, are those the right picks for those important roles? And, you know, I think some of the voices come from the House, where, you know, a lot of House Republicans know Matt Gaetz very well, was working for him for a few years. But keep in mind that, excuse me, they will not have a say on this. This is a vote by Senate Republicans. And so Senate Republicans don't have as much experience with Matt Gaetz, except for a few senators who worked with him previously when they were House members. So I think, you know, this is going to be the challenge for the incoming Trump administration on these nominations. But keep in mind, you know, as I think we talked about before, was, you know, the focus early on has been kind of the national security team. And now we'll start getting to picks like, you know, Treasury and other departments and agencies like, you know, labor and agriculture, interior, et cetera. And so, you know, those may not be as high profile, but we'll see where those picks go. But I think right now I'm going to be keeping a close eye on to see how Tulsi Gabbard and Matt Gaetz's nominations continue in the coming days, because those could be the rough waters for the Trump administration in early next year.
Okay, so there's a lot there to keep an eye on. If we turn back to Congress, what priorities focuses, now that Congress has entered back into session, what will be the focuses through year end? What might the agenda consist of, Shane?
Yeah, well, you know, first, I think the first hurdle was this week, you know, those internal leadership elections. You know, and of course, we have Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah holidays coming up. So it'll be a busy time for lawmakers. Additionally, you have lawmakers who were just elected and are not currently serving. They'll be serving starting in January, who will be kind of tagging along, if you will, and trying to, you know, learn a little bit about the job ahead. But that also provides for an interesting dynamic because, you know, they may be present but unable to vote on current legislation. And they don't always like that because they would like to see some of this, some of these debates be put off to the point where they can have an impact on it. And that will mostly be relevant with the government funding bill, which expires, I think it's December 20th. And so you'll see some Republicans who want to just punt far enough that the new Congress gets to deal with it, you know, maybe put it into February or March. But you'll see other lawmakers who want to actually just kind of have a clean slate and push government funding and finalize it for the entire fiscal year, which would be through September 30th, 2025. And they would like to do that from the position of that allows them to focus on other issues like, you know, a tax bill or approving Trump administration nominations early in 2025. So I think that dynamic is going to play out in early December, that divide within the Republicans about how to approach that issue. And then you have a whole host of other things that will come up that maybe, again, short-term punts or longer-term bills like a farm bill and a defense authorization bill. So there are a number of things going on here, and Congress will have its plate full. I think the bigger question to me is what will be done by the end of the year and what will probably be, you know, a punt into 2025, and that will be a little bit fluid.
Well, it sounds like a very busy several months ahead of us. So, Shane, thank you for keeping our listeners informed. A lot going on within the Beltway this week, though there's a lot there that will, of course, keep our listeners informed on in the weeks and couple of months ahead. So thank you again, Shane, for joining us this week, and look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan. Look forward to connecting with you soon. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. As always, I do want to point out to our listeners and our clients of UBS, please be sure to reference the latest Washington Weekly publication, which can be found up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at UBS.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.